take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? It's easy to ignore our needs and spread ourselves too thin. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
Welcome to the New York Times podcast. I spent $100,000 on my ring so she can skate. With music news and criticism. I'm your host, John Caramonica. You're listening to Lil Baby by Young Thug. It's off the new album, So Much Fun, which is the number one album in the country, at least at this specific moment. Soon to not be. But still, it's a big deal that Thug has the number one album in the country. Those of you who've been following his career since the early 2010s know that this has been a long time in the cooking. And it comes at an interesting moment for Thug, where you could argue that he has been maybe even eclipsed by the people that he's influenced. Thug is very much a child of Gucci, a child of Wayne. And now you can identify certain people, be it Gunna, Lil Baby, etc., who are children of Thug, who are basically the most or among the most popular rappers in the game right now. So I wanted to talk about the new Thug album, and I wanted to talk about why it's maybe not completely representative of the arc and influence and aesthetic of early Young Thug. So now, my guest this week, if you've been on the rap internet anytime in the last 15 years, and I know y'all have, you know who is with me. Nas is here, Andrew Nasnitsky. What up, man?
How's it going, dude?
Andrew's calling in from the Bay Area. Are you hanging out with Guapdad 4000 right now? Like, are you taking a break from that?
He scammed me.
Damn.
We're not friends anymore.
Damn. He's really like the 1.0 scam, to be honest. Like, you know, forget TJ. He was scamming at least 6 months before TJ was.
That's the scam. That's TJ's biggest scam.
So, Andrew, I first met in the wilds of the early to mid-2000s. Andrew ran CocaineBlunts.com, which was the signature rap blog of the rap blog era. Then Tumblin' Herb, when things moved over to Tumblr. For the last few years, he has been the proprietor of Park Boulevard Records, which was a physical store in Oakland, which I had the privilege to go to, which is no longer a physical store, but is a store that is in the virtual online space and in all of our hearts.
None of those things you mentioned really exist anymore. It's wonderful.
So Andrew's been disappearing slowly for 15 years, but I yanked him back from the mist for this week's episode. I appreciate that.
I'm coming out of hibernation. Thanks for having me.
This is a treat. This is a treat. So we were talking a little bit about Thug and So Much Fun, and I think we both kind of agreed that even though this is the number one album in the country, at least until Taylor Swift comes and clobbers it senselessly in a day or two, So Much Fun is maybe not the most fun Thug record. That's how I feel. I've been warming to it a little bit over the last couple days, but it does not jolt me and thrill me the way that like the stuff from 2013, 2014 did. What about you?
Yeah, it's fine. Like, I feel like it does exactly what it needs to do. And I feel like in some ways that is not jolt people. Yeah. Like, it needs to be basic to be this big record.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I mean, we can get into it later, but I was listening to some earlier Thug stuff before this, and like, Pacifier is not fitting on to the Rap Caviar playlist in 2019.
Yes, although low-key, maybe if one of Thug's children did something like that, then maybe. But
they couldn't.
They couldn't, yeah. I mean, ultimately, you know, like, yeah, they couldn't.
It would be a much more flat record.
So at the top of the show, we were listening to Lil Baby, which is one of the songs on So Much Fun. There's also a song featuring Lil Baby. There's songs with Uzi here. 21 is on this. J. Cole, Juice WRLD, et cetera, et cetera. It's interesting as someone who's been following Thug for many years, not just to see him become kind of like an elder figure, but also someone who collaborates with people who kind of don't do the thing that I think he's really good at. I remember feeling like Thug would kind of be this like outsider art genius forever. And that's not really what's happened. What do you think are the steps kind of between then and now? Like, what changed?
The market, streaming.
Is that what you think?
You know, mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is that, like what I just said, where it's like, there's not really a space for confrontational music right now, I feel like. And a lot of those early Thug records were just like, they would bowl you over. Like, you, I mean, I'm sure you heard like Danny Glover when it came out, and like 20% of the room would go nuts when it came on, and like 80% of the room would be like, what is going on here? Like, this is not, like, is this even music? I feel like you can't, there's not really a space to make a record like that anymore.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you're right. Thug is really not pre-streaming in the sense that streaming didn't exist, but pre-peak streaming, you know?
Well, he's definitely pre-streaming because his biggest 1017 happened without streaming. Rich Gang is still not on streaming. You know what I mean? Like,
is that true? I should have checked to see if those records are on.
I think.
Yeah. No, you're probably right.
I think 1017's up there now, but Rich Gang is like never. Like, there's been like illegal copies pop up from time to time, but
right.
I don't think it's ever gotten an official release.
Shouts to those people abusing the DistroKid platform.
Yeah, but think how much good they're bringing to the world.
I know. Please. You think I'm complaining? I'm not complaining.
Yeah. They've earned their like fractions of a penny.
Right, that hopefully they like convert to Bitcoin before the feds catch them.
Right.
So a thing that I think has happened a lot in recent Thug, and I mean this on this album and also in these kind of recent collaborations that he's done, I find that he is, from a cadence perspective, he's much more mindful of the one, if that makes sense. I used to feel like he, you know, the psychedelia of how he chose to put words together and where he chose to put them. Forget the kind of like the melody, forget that and the pattern. More just like where in the beat did he choose to land? That there was something magical and odd and frankly, sometimes uncomfortable, especially, you know, someone who grew up on New York rap, like you it's like hard to square right off the rip. But I feel in the last 2 years, he knows where the one is.
I was thinking about it a lot, though, and I feel like a lot of what we're talking about hinges not on choices made by Thug, but maybe by engineers or producers, too.
Okay.
You know, I think in that era, a lot of the times, like, his flow was sloppy, maybe because somebody f***ed it up. You know what I mean? Like, they brought him in at the wrong point. It's really hard to say.
You really think
about
so?
Intention
Wait, you think
at
he
all.
Always wanted to rap on the one, but
no.
But like, Alex Toumey didn't like set him up right.
No disrespect.
No,
Alex
no
Toumey.
Shots at Alex Toumey. I'm just saying.
No, I just think. I mean, I guess I'm thinking about like, more broadly, like the flattening of like what makes a Young Thug record, like a lot of the choices as far as ad libs, a lot of the choices as far as, you know, structure is like I think he's probably always done the same thing, which is like they drop a beat and he like goes into the booth and just goes nuts. And there's just different degrees of like what the finished product is going to look like, you know?
I do. I wonder. The thing to me that, I did get to see Thug work in the studio once. And
you're so lucky.
It was what you described, but he didn't like spaz out so much as kind of like inch along. He would do like a bar and a half and then another bar and then stitch those two bars together and kind of repeat it until he had it memorized and then like a third bar and then repeat all that until he had that memorized. It wasn't just like a completely wild thing, but he did build it in an improvisational way. And then he did run it back and ad lib over it and then run that back and ad lib over that. I don't hear as much of that in the new stuff. Number one, I also think other artists have taken the wanton ad libbing and ran with it and made an entire style out of it.
Yeah.
So it's like less sui generis for Thug.
Right. Maybe. Well, I feel like the ad-libbing is also toned down a bit at this point. Am I right in saying that?
I mean, I think
some
so.
Of the stuff he was doing on like Barter 6, where it was like four bars of him just being like, Like, there's not a lot of that.
No, and this is the thing. So, okay, let's maybe play a record I dislike, which is the recent Post Malone. Actually, Pedro, I want to play two recent Thug features. We are not going to play Havana, the Camila Cabello record. Let's play a little bit of Thug's part on Goodbyes, which is a recent Post Malone song that has a video where Thug is crooning in like a honky-tonk. And then let's play a little bit of Thug on the Ed Sheeran Collaborations record. The song is called Feels. Yep. And it is Sheeran with Thug and J-Hus. Two out of three of which make sense. And I don't even like to cap on Ed Sheeran like that, but like this is an odd record. Let's play a little bit of both of those. I want you out of my life. I want you back here tonight. I'm trying to cut you no knife. I want to slice you and dice you. My argument possessive. It got you precise. Can you not turn off the TV? I'm watching it fight. No hand, no nothing. Gotta trust your crowd. Gotta land in a cloud, babe. Baby, I gotta dance. You don't know why you doing this to me. I try to tell him not to do it. It's loud. I try to tell him not to bust it out the rap till we leave. I was thinking suicide for the rivals. I done went and bought a car with the title. Told the promoters have her on the rider. I can boost backstage at the wildest. She can pay just like Poison. In the glory days, I mean, we really are on some old man stuff today. Like this, but we're talking about the glory days of 2014. But in the glory,
yeah, 4 years ago,
yeah. But in the glory days, one thing that I really admired about Thug was how little he collaborated with people outside of like his immediate circle. You know, it was like a self-contained loop from from Gucci to Thug, basically, and then
yeah,
kind of
and then like, well, he said something really cool in the Big Boy interview, I think, where he's like, yeah, if it's just a dude, like, he's gonna rap. Like, it's just like some random guy. Like, and it's true, he's like rapping with his sisters and his girlfriend, and like, I always feel like that's such a tight aspect of what he's always done.
It reminds me a little bit, there's an interview, I think Joe did it with the Quality Control guys. They were talking about Lil Baby, and they were just like, you know, we knew Lil Baby from around the way, and we knew he was cool, and we were just basically like, you should just rap. And now he's just like one of the big, he's like one of the biggest success stories of the last 2 years. But I think Thug has that same approach where it's just like anyone can do this. Like this is art, but also this is a product and like anybody can do this. But in the last 2 years, I feel like something switched. I don't know if Lior got in his head. I don't know if he evolved and grew, but he decided to offer his services to the world. And I think something that happens when you offer your services to the world is, you bend it a little bit. Maybe you kind of, shave off the yees a little bit, And what I hear on So Much Fun is someone who like went out in the world and did that and then came back to his own projects and then didn't like unleash the yees.
To be real, like, I definitely haven't heard the Ed Sheeran song.
I thought you were going to say, to be real, I bang with the Ed Sheeran song.
No, I have no idea that existed. Post Malone songs tend to wash over me in a really weird way where like I've probably heard it 50 times and I'd be like, oh, it's that thing.
You and the rest of America.
Yeah.
They should put this out on a 7-inch so you could sell it.
I assure you I cannot sell an Ed Sheeran 7-inch. You got to go to Urban Outfitters for that, Doug.
And you've heard the Camila Cabello record, like the big one.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like, what do you
feel? Which is cool.
So when you hear that record, Havana, and then like these other, when you hear Thug in these contexts, does he sound like Thug to you or does he sound different?
I think Havana works for what it is.
Okay.
You know, like, it's not remarkable, mm-hmm. but, like, I'm happy to hear Young Thug on the radio.
Yeah.
And it's, and he's, like, present enough that if I'm in a car and I turn on pop radio, I'm like, oh, that's Young Thug. That's great. I feel you, too, where there's less room for him to be a madman in these records. And I wonder if, yeah, he's not seeing the success, either consciously or intuitively, of these big breakout hits and being like, well, maybe I need to come a little quieter on my own music.
There was something interesting. Did you see, I can't remember, I think it was maybe a Complex interview this week with Jeff Ogunlesse, who's Thug's A&R. Did you happen to catch that?
No, I had bookmarked it, but didn't get around to it.
He said something interesting that Thug had said, and he might have been quoting one of the Thug interviews, like the Big Boy one or maybe the No Jumper one. I'm not sure if it was that or if something Thug said on his own to Jeff, but Thug was like, I made the version of Thug that, like, the fans want to hear. And, like, kind of making some aesthetic distinction between that and, like, the basically, like, Thug Unplugged, you know, or Thug Unhinged.
And I think that's a question of who are the fans. Like, who are the fans of hip-hop right now? Does he mean Young Thug fans, or does he mean Gunna fans?
Right. Or does he mean, like, casual rap fans who will now show up at, like, a big venue Young Thug show, but maybe would not have known about or felt like they belonged at a small venue Young Thug show 4 years ago.
Do you think that this record is more popular than, like, say, the Rich Gang era?
I don't, personally.
It, like, works the system better, so it has higher numbers.
Yeah, and also the system is more evolved, because even in the Rich Gang era, the system wasn't evolved in a way that could capture, from a metrics perspective, kind of like how popular Thug was.
And I wonder if that record had come out with, like, the infrastructure that exists today, it's like it probably would have been the number one record in the country. It's the same thing. Like, Lifestyle is about the level of hit that the London is, right?
I think it was bigger. I mean, like, I guess the London is really popular. I tend to turn it off. Let's actually listen to the London, a song that I think is a very weird song to be one of the most popular Thug songs ever. Let's listen to a second of that.
At the London, if you find time, we can run one. Talk about some things we can undo. You just in the pen, I can find you. 6-1 on the money, 9-2. You just say the word and I run through. 2 texts, no reply, that's when I knew.
Yeah,
I knew.
Circumnavigate the globe as the cash grows. Get a whack like you get the grass mold. I'm talking slick when I'm with the big slime. Could hit your, you can never hit mine. In my DM, they electric slide. No catfishing, this is not a fish fry. Never switch sides on my dog. Catch a contact, hit your ride, go to Mars. Everybody sing. How could you come about your face and say I ain't the hardest? You'd have never heard. I left off like a rapper's dead and bird. A verse for me is like 11 birds. It did the math, that's like $2,000 every word. I'm on the purge, I beat the charge. I kill some and I walked away from it. Then I observed just how you curved. Then told them that they gotta wait for it. I know you ain't hard to man.
Yeah, so this is like a pretty good example of a Thug moment that does not, to me, feel like a Thug moment.
Well, he's barely on the record.
Yeah.
There's like 2 minutes of song before you even hear his voice, which is like the least Young Thug thing that you could possibly do. Like, how, that's like a Travis Scott move.
Right. Shots fired. We did not show up today.
Had to get one in there.
Not to say we didn't show up explicitly to drag Travis Scott, but, like, since we're here.
I mean,
while we're here.
That's going to be the second half of the podcast.
I got to be honest, like, Travis, yeah, it's very, maybe this is like the old man moment, but, like, yeah, it's just not what people say it is. Anyway.
But I think it's the same thing we're talking about here, where it's a matter of, like, him taking really avant-garde and progressive rap styles, kind of like shaving off the edges, polishing it a little, having it be more accessible and more easily fitting into a streaming format, into a playlist, and like it working and him being 10 times more popular. I mean, that was astonishing to me when I went to the Travis and Thug tour from like 4 or 5 years ago. And I was like, oh, like, everyone here is for Travis Scott. Like, me and like my 5 35-year-old friends are the Young Thug fans in the crowd. And like everyone else is like 16 and freaking out for Travis.
Travis is like a much more translatable, better dressed Young Thug.
The same could be said for Gunna and Baby in a weird way.
Oh, sure. No, and we're definitely going to circle back to that for sure.
We should talk about the London.
Should we though?
Well, I think he sounds good on that song when he finally comes in.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. It doesn't resonate for me.
I think it's cool. I feel like it's one of the better performances on the record, to be honest, on the album. It's just such a radio song.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't hear it. I think that's where the question of was Lifestyle more popular? Lifestyle was like a dominant summer record that you heard everywhere.
Yeah.
The London just seems to be, it's on the radio a lot, and it was built to be that, right?
What I think about the difference between Lifestyle and the London is Lifestyle is a radio hit for the radio era. The London is a radio hit for the streaming era.
That's fair to say. And which is such a weird way to think about it because, I don't know, man, it all comes back to like that flatness, right?
Yeah, that's really
where,
what it
where
is.
Radio in 2015 felt so much more alive in a weird way.
Yeah. But I do think because these records are streaming first, you know, in terms of intent, yeah. I think that's just changed a lot of the sound of what ends up on the radio. I was talking to someone recently, and I can't remember the context. It was not in a Thug context, but it was in a conversation about streaming. And they were talking about the pressure applied by streaming services to basically collaborate with artists because it's good for streaming services because I guess it gives you something to click on and, you know, you're kind of like always in the ecosystem. That's how they framed it to me. And the London feels kind of like that. It's sort of like, wouldn't it be good if we had Thug with this person and also with this unlikely person? And then you could press play on this yeah. and then you never have to press stop. You could just like go on for 5 hours after that song.
It also crosses demographics in a way where like the overlap between J. Cole, Young Thug, and Travis Scott fans is not
high.
I mean, there's some, but there's enough like empty space on the Venn diagram that they're touching a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't be listening to a song like that, you know?
Exactly. All right, so we've been griping, right? For about 15, 20 minutes, we've been griping. This is what we're expert at.
It's not all griping.
No, okay. But like, we're gripe heavy. Why don't we turn back the clock a little bit and recover and revisit some of that kind of early Thug magic? You want to talk about the early tapes, the I Came From Nothing tapes?
Yes.
And the first, I mean, the first 1017 Thug tape?
I really came on board fully with I Came From Nothing too.
Yeah. I think for me, it was probably 3.
I went back and listened to that, and it's like, it's so crazy to think that it started there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Let's play a song from I Came From Nothing too. Let's play Keep In Touch from I Came From Nothing too. And this is Young Thug in 2011.
Won't you keep in touch with me? Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Won't you stop me? On me, eh? Don't abuse it, don't abuse it. Won't you fall in love with me? I say, stop moving, you gon' end up winning with me, eh? No losing.
I'ma ride it like a Kawasaki bike. When you feel down, don't be the one that make you feel right. If he gon' have you ride, don't be that one that make you can't fly. I'ma flood you in on black diamonds, they gon' thank you at night. I got them dark blue true with the buns like penis. Walking down Rodeo, yo, real hair like Indian Remy. Mitch match bottoms, pocket fat, but the truth of fitted. Cause I got rounds of the cushion, I sold tons of the midget. And every time I think about you, I want sex, baby. Dancing on the pole, you the best, baby. I know you kinda busy, but I want next, baby. I want next, baby. Have my next, baby, yeah. What they saying about me and you? Cause I'm on garden food, and you on garden food. And known this so much wrong in these streets. God, give me back, cause I miss you and you ain't missing me. So try to just keep in touch with me.
So I remember these tapes because around this time period, I had gone to Atlanta to do a kind of, you know, like a 2.0 strip club teen rapper story. You know, I was writing about Travis Porter and Rich Kids and folks like that. And I remember listening to this and being like, wow, this has nothing to do with anything else that's happening in Atlanta, but it's so fascinating. I mean, I guess it has to do with Gucci, obviously.
Well, it does.
But it's so fascinating.
No, I mean,
it's so
fascinating. Like it does and it doesn't. Like, and I think that was always the X factor with Thug, where it's like, when he came out, everybody was like, this sounds like Wayne. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is just a Wayne ripoff. And it's like, it's influenced by Wayne, but also like, his community is Cash Out and Rich Kids. You know, like, it is this era of sort of swaggy Atlanta rap, which is now almost completely lost. Like,
oh yeah,
unless you're willing to listen to like Cuddy 2009 YouTube rips of Bandit Gang songs.
That sounds great.
I mean, that's my life. Yeah. But most people are not most people are not that actively looking for this stuff.
Can I just, do you think, just as a quick sidebar while we're here, I would just love if Quez from Travis Porter would either do like a real early 2010 style solo project, or if he should be making millions writing hooks for other people if he's not already. I don't know what his financial
situation. Whole thing, and they were people always talk about the Migos flow, but like yeah. that kind of came from the like Make It Rain era, right?
I agree. I fully like Travis Porter. I mean, oof. I mean, we're
There's
only
a little
few
more
years
stop
out,
and go.
They need critical resuscitation, like for sure.
Well, the other dude to me that's completely a star from that era is Schoolie from Rich Kids.
Oh, Schoolie.
And I think that like, I mean, I would love, it's a shame that he doesn't make more music with Thug anymore. And I feel like he is like, there's always one song a year I hear from him where I'm like, holy shit, like Schoolie is an amazing rapper.
I think I interviewed all of those kids when they were, Rich Kids were maybe younger than Travis Porter at the time, presumably still. but, but I think Rich Kids were maybe in high school still. Maybe they're like 16. Travis Porter was like late teenagers, maybe 20. But even at the time, Schoolie was really dope. And
yeah,
that era, I think because of the kind of brightness of the melodies of that era, like didn't get taken quite as seriously. It didn't like imprint quite as firmly. And that's unfortunate.
Well, it's interesting to me too, because people tend to point at like the last 3 or 4 years of SoundCloud rap and they're like, oh, finally hip hop is having its emo moment. And it's like, did you listen to all that like Atlanta rap from 2008 when it was kids doing, you know, they were just doing the brighter side of emo, like melodic stuff, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's all, again, forgotten and lost, and it breaks my heart.
Someday, we will have to build some kind of, like, indestructible archive of all the things that I'm sure we have ripped to our hard drives and stored away in storage units. And
that seems like the logical endpoint of at least my career, where I'm just going to be, like, begging DJ Scream for CDQ rips in 2040.
I mean, this is like, you know, you can become like the Egon of of mid-2000s to mid-2010s lost internet rap scenes.
But I don't think like, well, we're getting off topic.
No, this
like,
is the
I don't
topic.
Think that, I don't think that stuff exists. Like, I don't think the DJs, it was like on a hard drive in their mom's house probably. And like, I don't think there's like, there's no impetus to keep music anymore.
I 100% agree, but I also feel that like there are people like you and I in each of these scenes who for whatever reason maybe are sitting on a hard drive that you can go and trade a bottle of wine for at some point down the line.
That's going to be the post-apocalyptic currency.
That is. Shouts to Egon.
It's going
to
be also, like,
shouts to
we'll
known.
We'll be trading our rare Rich Kids songs.
Yeah, like also,
like,
you know.
For gas.
And EFN is, of course, a known enophile, so shouts to Egon. Okay, so I Came From Nothing 2 is probably like the first genuine like WTF Thug tape. And then 3 and 1017 Thug come along and those are like, okay, that proves that basically it's not a fluke. You know what I mean? The I Came From Nothing 2.
I Came From Nothing 2 opened with Haiti Slang, which was the true like moment for me where I was like, what is happening here? You know, and that, and also like that's some Atlanta shit. Like that, you can trace that back. Like if you want to be a dork about it, you can trace that back to like Kilo's The Piz. You know, like maybe that would make sense as a track on the end of the tape, but like putting it out in front, I was like this guy's insane.
Yeah. Also, just as a sidebar, I just Googled I Came From Nothing 2 is still on DatBiff, FYI.
Okay.
If anybody would like
I think the I Came From Nothings are on streaming.
Oh, yeah. I Came From Nothing. I Came From Nothing 2 is on streaming. Let's see if 3 is on streaming. 3 is not on streaming.
I mean, I don't feel like we should advocate for streaming services. I feel like you guys should give DatBiff your clicks.
That's
and
fine.
Not Spotify.
That's fine.
That's my position.
Anyway, you can download it on DatBiff, which I want to remind everyone is, quote, the authority in free mixtapes. So go download that. Let's talk about 1017 Thug into ultimately, to me, the kind of peak, quote unquote, pop, but not really, Thug project, which is Black Portland. You love that tape, huh? Yeah, and you don't like Black Portland.
I think it just seemed really minor in the moment. And maybe I need to go back and listen to it.
No, you're not the only person that said that to me. I certainly, like, plenty of other people have said that to me. But I just remember
1017 was the moment for me where I was like, okay, this guy is going to be great.
So let's play off 1017 Thug. Let's play a little bit of Y Order and then a little bit of Pikachu, which to me is like the first Thug can make, you know, like a sort of accessible, friendly moment song. Let's play a little bit of both of those.
With a pee hat on her little back. What you saying? She need to come back, but I'm a true blood. She need a bum back. She wear bar clothes, her crack. She never show that. She can't show that. Class West at. She a real net. She a true brat. She gon' bring her back. See, I'm poppy. I'm in thuggy. I'm a copy. She got cute feet. She got nice teeth. Got good hair. Her eyes trappy. Camino. I can handle you. I can slander you. I can bend you. I can camel you. I can mammal you. I can miss you. David Banner you. Air Force Ones, Air Force Twos. We can fly two. We can fly few. It don't matter to me. It don't matter to you. I'm a Seahawk in a flying coop. I'll Seattle you. I'll paddle you. Like a biker snake. I'll saddle you. Like an earthquake. Shake salad you. Put wood in you. Like a paddle boo. Hey. I'll take that ish. Thug bang. And get bit. I'm taking this shit, when this shit ain't getting back. I ain't drunk, in 2 days feel like a month. I'm just booing with my dog, feel like I hunt. I'ma be hood rich in a minute, ho. If I start, I never finish, ho. Slipping mud like a guinea, ho. Watching more, no rimming, ho. Count fast like a telly, ho. Raise dark, yeah, they tenant, ho. Black man with rats like them tennis, ho. When we count the rat, we never finish, ho. Steve. Young school got a couple licks, we gon' hit. He got a young country boy, one brick. And like a hit song, he getting remit. My big homie, cool, run a sit. We run the old school train, she get hit. I kill my dog, no Mike V. I call my homie, you know, on the
craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made or how a wooden table is built piece by piece, and in not so small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS, not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
I'm Emily Badger. I'm a reporter with the New York Times. Since the pandemic, empty office buildings have become much more common in many cities. Why can't we just turn them into housing? It's actually a really complicated question. To answer this question, you have to find a developer trying to turn an office building into apartments, ride a rickety elevator to the 30th floor of a construction site to see the interior guts of a building, find an expert in incandescent light bulbs who can explain to you how they fundamentally change office buildings. And that's just the beginning of what you have to do. When you subscribe to the New York Times, you are sending reporters like me out into the world to ask questions of dozens of different experts, to go and visit places most people don't get to go, to try to come back with answers, and then turn all of that into something that anyone can understand. If you'd like to become a subscriber, head to nytimes.com/subscribe. You need to see the animated floor plans in this piece.
Okay, so that's 1017 Thug in 2013. What about that tape kind of really spoke to you?
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, that.
Like, just every moment of it is really... Yeah. Well, okay, so for one thing, it's like when he really starts coming into his own with flows and styling. I mean, the thing that I think really... Again, this is me talking as an old head. That that really attracted me to Thug is that he seemed to be coming into this style that was reminiscent of a lot of the kind of West Coast underground rappers that I grew up on, like Freestyle Fellowship mm-hmm. and Saphir. Like, these kind of, like, really, like, it's prog rap, like, not in the Kanye sense, where he brings in a Gentle Giant sample halfway through the song, but like where the flow is like constantly moving forward and like the inflection is shifting and yep. it's like really kind of a like full spectrum experience.
And I remember at the time that seems to me to be a clear antecedent to what Thug was doing, probably unintentional, like probably unknowing.
No, I mean, we can totally, I can draw the like crazy man.
You can draw the flow chart like from
whiteboard flow chart. Yeah.
You can draw the flow chart from.
Oh yeah, definitely.
All right. Draw the flow chart from Freestyle Fellowship to 1017 Thug.
Basically the major point is like the point of inflection is that you go from Freestyle Fellowship to Souls of Mischief. And then like Outkast is very indebted to Souls of Mischief on that first Outkast record.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
And then you go from Outkast. I mean, you could probably jump directly to Thug from that, but you also
I don't know if Thug ever listened to Outkast.
I think, you know, I think Thug is so like weirdly reclusive. I haven't seen an interview with him about music ever. And my theory is that like he secretly knows all this.
I don't know, man. I mean, you have not interviewed Thug, right?
I have very briefly when I did the Gucci feature for Fader.
Right.
No,
right,
I
right.
haven't talked to him about I haven't had a chance to dork out, but I just think that
I did talk to him admittedly during an era where he was less garrulous than the current era, you know?
Yeah. It'd be cool to hear his new, like charming self actually. And to my original point, when I interviewed Tajay from Souls of Mischief
uh-huh.
and I did not probe for this at all. Like one of the things he said was he was like, my daughter listens to Young Thug. He's the new Micah 9, which to me, like I wanted to cry, like mm-hmm. everything, you know, like for years I felt like an insane person trying to make those connections. And I'm like, oh, here's the missing link himself drawing that line. And I'm like, yeah.
Okay. All right. I look, I think that's totally plausible. And I think the flow chart that you drew is, I don't know if it's 100% that, but I think it's not implausible. I mean, I do think we're understating the influence of Wayne and where Wayne got Wayne's thing from and where Wayne got, you know, and whether that's UGK or Ball and G or who knows what.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's 100%.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's the line that I see from me being able to talk about Freestyle Fellowship on this podcast.
Should we play a Freestyle Fellowship song?
Yeah, what do you think?
Let's play Heavyweights. This is from Inner City Griot, which is the Freestyle Fellowship major label, quote unquote, debut album. There's the EP from that came before this. This is from, what year is this, 92, 93? This is out on 4th and Broadway, also known for Eric B. and Rakim Records. We can't recommend this album enough, so go listen to this.
Yeah, and I mean, I think like we definitely went on a huge tangent here, but
no, it's all this. This is what we do. This is you clearly yeah. haven't listened to Popcast. This is literally what we do,
right?
All right, this is Heavyweights Freestyle.
You just play
Fellowship.
Freestyle Fellowship,
yeah. It's true, it's true. So, Freestyle Fellowship, AC Alone, Micah 9, Peace, Self Jupiter. Who'd I forget?
That's it.
But
Heavyweights is like a posse cut, anyway,
right? So again, there's a whole bunch rapping. Of folks,
yeah.
On
there's
it.
Like 80 dudes on this.
All right, so let's listen to Heavyweights, and you can extrapolate the Young Thug out of here.
W-A- Crazy, you see the question answer, cooking it or die, like a water to a melon and a melon to a rhyme. I'm not shabba, but I got the remedy for your mind. Description of the prescription for the bulls that won't quit. Constipated, stare and stop that bullshit. Yo, I'm done, but weird in comes the next everywhere.
Okay, now that we have talked about like the most abstruse thread of Thug, I want to make a brief case for Black Portland, if I may.
Wait, we're leaving 1017 already?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to stick around on it, tell me what we want to say.
We could just do a 1017 Thug podcast.
We honestly could. I mean, that's, no, like, but I think that's like top 20 records of the decade. Top 25, certainly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like you could put 5 Thug tapes in that list. But I think also what gets really underrated in this era is that he was coming into his own as a writer. Mm-hmm. And some of the same things that he was doing, like with flows, I feel like he does. There's like this thing he does where it's just like ratcheting up tension and then releasing and like deflating an idea. Like the first song on 1017 Thug, where he's like, they'll press you, they'll cock back, they're depressed too.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's basically like, I'm surrounded by goons, yeah. Like they're gonna shoot you. And also they're depressed.
They're miserable. Yeah.
You know, like that is just, and then he comes out, that's the first thing he says on the tape. And you're like, oh, like this is really good writing. And I remember having that argument so much in that era where I was like, yeah, he's like styling his ass off on this record. Mm-hmm. But like, he's really like, there's points on that tape. That's why I wanted to play Why Order, where it's like, that to me is almost like a Supreme Clientele era Ghostface.
Wow.
Song. Like it's all these like abstract mm-hmm. images, like bouncing off of each other. Like there's that whole weird tangent where he's like, I'm a Seahawk in a flying coop. And he starts rapping about Seattle. You know what I, like, yeah. It just,
no, he's right. He is like, having had the benefit of seeing him work that one time, I can imagine exactly how that like verse or that couplet or whatever came to be. Is he landed right. upon a syllable he liked, and then he turned that syllable into a word, and then he turned that word into an action, and then he turned that action into a concept, all kind of in real time, you know, in a dark booth.
That's so beautiful to me. And I feel like that's something that's really underrated in this era of hip hop, not this current era of hip hop, but like 4 or 5 years ago, is the fact that like the entire canvas changed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, and right. The nature of writing. And this is the thing, right, you know, people from older generations say, oh, you have to write in one way and there's got to be some kind of structure and formalism and yada, yada. And what I learned watching Thug is actually that this is written, and this is written just in a way that is not familiar to those old heads. And it's just as elegant.
And speaking of old heads, when I had that moment was when I saw 2 Chainz work in the studio, who does kind of the same thing.
Mm.
Okay. In a way that kind of ends up at a style that's more like what hip hop was originally. Like,
yeah.
Coming out the gate, like Rapper's Delight was like a bunch of gibberish and a bunch of stream of conscious stuff, you know? And then like it evolved and built into this, like where Razzcaz was doing Nature of the Threat. And there was all these like high concept.
What was that noise?
Is that a Young Thug ad lib?
No. Is it too intimate to interject here and say that Razzcaz's Nature of the Threat was included in my college senior thesis?
Wow.
I think it might have been the title of my college senior thesis.
I can one up you. I did an application essay about A.C. Alone's Book of Human Language.
Wow. Did you get in?
No.
Oh!
I think I sent it to NYU and definitely didn't get in.
I guess they hadn't read Charles Aaron's spin review of that record, I guess.
What was Charles?
He gave Aaron's it the story on this. And then Charles, if you're listening and you know, and this is wrong, I apologize, but this is just what I've heard apocryphally, is, you know, in that era of Spin Magazine, obviously that is an arbiter of, you know, a tastemaking arbiter. And a lot of record stores would sometimes adjust their record buys based on how positively or negatively a record was reviewed in a place like Spin. So if I'm not mistaken, that AC Alone record Wait, you were talking about like the main AC Lone record, right? Not the later one.
The second one.
Oh, maybe this was the first one. I can't remember which. But anyway, it's a funny story either way. He gave it the lead review and like raved about it. And like some retail chain, I don't know whatever that would have been in 1990-something, in response to that, like ordered, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of copies of this album. And then none of them sold.
I probably bought one.
But, I probably bought one on discount. But anyway, that's Charles, if you're listening and that's wrong, my bad. But it's a hilarious story regardless. Okay, I agree with you about the freedom of those early tapes. And now you are keep pushing me off it. But I'm going to defend.
We'll talk Black Portland.
I'm going to defend Black Portland. To me, Black Portland is the real beginning of Lifestyle. Black Portland is the real beginning of the London. Black Portland is the first fully structured Young Thug record. I don't know. It's deeply.
No, I'm saying this as in like, I should have, I was not prepared for like the Black Portland argument. Like it's such a footnote in my brain that I went back and listened to everything before this conversation, except for Black Portland.
Amazing.
So I'm like, you could be right. I probably haven't listened to that tape since it came out. And like, you're probably, you know, given what I know about Thug and like, I do think that's why I'm hesitant to be like, oh, So Much Fun is so underwhelming, mm-hmm. because I do think his work reveals itself with time. That's mm-hmm. a really common. The first time I listened to Barter 6, I was like, that's it. And then like mm-hmm. I listened to it for a week and I was like, oh no, like that's
right.
This is amazing. Like this is the new stage in his evolution and he's advanced it. And the thing with Black Portland is he was moving so quickly at that time that like mm-hmm. I probably didn't have that chance because like he was on to his Danny Glover. The High Tunes
yes,
era.
Right. Danny Glover. And almost so Danny right. Yeah. And Danny Glover is like weirdly tacked on to Black Portland. It came out before yeah. Black Portland. It's kind of like they just jammed it on here for who knows what reason. But let's listen to a song that if I had a baseball stadium walk up song in 2014, it would have been No F. If they wanna take pictures of these $20,000 slugs. SML don't have a leader. Everyone with me look like a plug. Woke up and bought a pimpin' business. Learned from OG Double D. We killing witness. RIP OGD. She know she not winning. If she stray away from me, she say she not with it. I see straight through her like linen. Having babies. Cooking babies. Weather whipping. Casting calm. For this porn, I need a leader. Serving James, Alka-Seltzer, Bloody Jay gon' tell them, Bloody gon' tell them. So the main point I want to make about Black Portland broadly, and especially coming off 1017 Thug, which is this kind of like avant-gardist masterpiece, Black Portland was, I thought, something that preserved the kind of wild essence of Thug, but yet somehow found songs in a more classical sense in there. And obviously this is the era where you see like Danny Glover had just happened and Stoner. Right.
Stoner was before Danny Glover, I want to say. Right?
I don't know.
They're kind of out at the same time.
I think Danny Glover actually came out like in 2013. I might be wrong, but these are all the things that we have to do in our archive. We've got to have good metadata.
We got to have
we
definitely don't have.
We definitely don't
Danny
have
Glover's
that.
Not even called Danny Glover anymore.
I know. It's actually true. So to me, it was the first. I was like, oh, this is the pivot. That's how it felt to me at the time. This is the pivot. And then the way that Thug is going to become bigger and kind of like more translatable is he's not going to kind of sacrifice the wildness of the rapping, but there something or someone is going to kind of like shape it in a different way. And that's why Black Portland kind of like jumped out to me so crazy. But, you know, I'm happy to stand alone on that island and die from hunger.
I mean, when we're done talking, I'll go back and listen to it. But I just didn't. There's so much. I mean, I think the thing that's so hard to like even get a handle on his catalog is that we're talking about a 3-year period with 8 tapes.
Yeah.
You know, probably like 100 plus loose songs on top of that. You know, like there's no like the thought of like, oh, I'm going to prep for this and listen to the Young Thug discography, mm-hmm. which is why it's so funny that So Much Fun is his being touted as his debut album.
Yeah, of course, which is like, it's obvious nonsense. I mean, it's just pure marketing nonsense. I mean, according to the Wikipedia mixtape list for Thug, 6 tapes in 2014 alone.
Right.
And then we
I think if you're being generous or if you're being conservative, like at the very least, he has 4 solo albums.
These are all albums. They're all albums. Yeah. Andrew.
Right.
They're all, say it with me. They're all albums.
But in the traditional, like, you know, like Jeffrey had a press run and a physical release. And, you know, like those are actually, like, I can understand why you would be like 1017 is like a warm up underground mixtape. But I think that, like, if Barter Six had performed as well as So Much Fun, like, they would be calling it his debut album.
My attitude is after the G-Unit tapes, the Diplomats tapes, the Champ Is Here, the Jadakiss tape, like, after that era, mixtapes are albums. I don't care what someone at a record label tells me. It's an album.
Right.
If you want to send an email to my editor and run a correction on something where I called it an album and you want to say it's a mixtape, like, I'll have that fight with you. But in essence, it's an album.
That's fair. Well, and I think that's also, like, indicative of this weird, like, pre-streaming, post-live mixtapes. Or, you know what I mean? Like, the live mixtapes era where a lot of these artists are, like, stuck in deals and dropping tapes of new material.
Of effluvia. A lot of effluvia in this era.
I have no idea what that word means.
It's the new Young Thug song. It's called effluvia.
Effluvia?
Effluvia. It's detritus.
Oh, it's not a Young Thug song. Hey,
it's about to be, though.
I mean, hopefully he'll listen to this podcast.
That's what I'm saying.
Collab with Micah 9 and name a song after that.
Yo, that would be great. Young Thug featuring Micah 9, Effluvia.
Effluvia, that would be perfect.
Oh, my God. That's like our dream song.
We got to end our entire career the next
summed
Thug
in
record,
one song. Okay, so after Effluvia... which I look forward to playing on a future podcast when it happens.
Yes.
So now we're in Barter Six, the Slime Season tapes, Jeffrey. I have to be honest, I kind of get lost in here a little bit. I think there's a lot of music. It's not kind of as signature as the 2013, 2014 stuff.
We skipped Rich Gang.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Rich Gang is the dream of Black Portland fulfilled.
Right. Rich Gang is, I mean, that's my album of the decade by far. Like, I just think it's perfect. And, like, it's what I listen to. The funniest thing about Rich Gang is when they were putting that group together, everybody got so mad because I remember there was an interview where they're like, we're the new Outkast. And people were like, oh, these short bus mumble rappers, like, they could never be Outkast. And then, like, the tour is as good as Southern Playlistic, like, straight up. And I'm somebody who grew up on Outkast. And, like, if I had to go to a desert, like, if I had to make a desert island call between the tour and Southern Playlistic, like,
wow, I
would struggle with it.
Wow. Okay, what's a great non-single, what's a great album cut on the tour? There are some gems. I'm looking at the track listing right now. There's some good stuff on this. I don't feel about it the way that you do, but it's some very good stuff on here.
I mean, I come back to it constantly. Mm-hmm. I would maybe play Pull Up.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. I'm gonna hit it from the back, I'm gonna pull up on the nookie with it, bitch. It's wetter than the lake. Young coin got a bitch, fucking clown to the sea in the back of the new car, no page. Got more loud than a parade. No copy, but her face, I pace. Whole spot us around like a rage. Chopping again in by the 3, no pace. Yay. Young nigga dime me, I like a go to maze. Wait, don't move them bed, then none of your face. It's your flick. Swear to God, I think my blind came with my shoes. The way they lay. Get the fuck on my face and pull up to Matthew. Okay, so after the tour, we're in Barter Six, Slime Season, tapes, Jeffrey. I get lost here, if I'm being honest.
I mean, the thing that was tough for me with the Slime Season stuff is that all that music leaked, and, like, I processed it already, and then they released it again, and, like, some of them are slightly different mixes, and, like, and just, you know, you get used to your, like, super, like, grimy YouTube rip. You know the YouTubes where it's, like, that purple tinted picture of Thug with the knit hat on all the 2015 rips.
Yep.
I feel like that's the defining Young Thug artwork to me.
Yeah.
Just because I've listened to so many of those YouTubes.
And it's funny because, like, you know, there's been a lot of talk recently about the leak economy and how it's affected folks like Uzi and Cardi. Shout out to Ben Dandridge Lemko, who wrote a really interesting story about this.
Yeah.
Fader last week. Thug, I think, and I haven't thought this through, but off the top, my sense is Thug is perhaps the first artist whose career is genuinely derailed by the leak ecosystem in the sense that, like, for people like me and you, we are processing Thug on a rhythm and on a path that, like, most other people are not. So then he's like, has two parallel lives, the lives for, like, the real heads who are downloading stuff and, like, chasing stuff down. And then the kind of, like, regular punters who just take it as it's handed to them. And I got to be honest, where I sort of lost interest was feeling like I had to, like, reconcile between those two things, where I'd be like, an album come out and I'd be like, okay, how is this different from what I've already heard? And are the differences material and are they important? And which is the official version?
And then you're also sitting there and you're like, when are they going to do the mastered version of my favorite song?
Yes.
Which is like languishing with 12,000 views on YouTube.
Right.
But here's the question though, is like, okay, so you're saying the leak ecosystem derailed Young Thug's career, which I think is not true.
Okay,
I think the industry's inability to adapt to the leak ecosystem derailed Young Thug's career.
Yes. Okay.
And I think that, like, it's outrageous that now Playboi Carti's going through the same thing, that we're here 5 years later, and as much as they've industrialized the streaming system, that they can't adapt to artists that work this quickly. And that's been a problem. That was a problem with Wayne. That was a problem with Gucci. You know, like, that's the industry doesn't know how to move quickly enough for rap music still.
Well, there's a difference between does not know and chooses not to.
And Cardi should be the most popular rapper out right now. Like, he is on a level. When I go outside, I mean, I'm blessed to live right by Lake Merritt, where it's like kids are always hanging out. Like, I don't leave my house and not hear, like, Flatbed Freestyle still.
Sure.
2 years after his tape came out or whatever. But the industry doesn't know how to capitalize on that because he's moving so quickly.
No, and again, you know, the industry, its dominant interest is in squelching that until it can be regularized. But what
Until he can make it so much fun.
Right, and also, but also it's been, no matter what they try to regularize, I mean, there was like a weird moment maybe a year or two ago where you're like, okay, maybe everything is sort of moving at roughly the same pace. But what you see with the Uzi and the Cardi leaks is there's all this untapped demand, and there's a complete reluctance on the part of people at those labels and at these, whether it's a streaming service or download services or whatever, to come up with a business model that makes sense for demand that already exists. I'm not of the mindset that all demand should be monetized. Like, I understand, like, free is good and da-da-da, but I'm just saying, you and I both know perfectly well that there are people who know how to monetize things who just are choosing not to to do that in this case.
Well, but it's not just demand though, it's also supply, because it's not like, I'm not arguing that unfinished Kendrick Lamar tracks should be leaked. Like, these are people who were, you know, like, I assume when Cardi makes 5 songs in a night, like, he's done with them, you know, like, maybe they maybe they touch him up in post-production a little.
I don't know,
but
if,
like,
that as a shot, but it certainly sounded like,
no, it's not. I love Cardi. Like, I think he's one of my favorite rappers out right now, but, like, I just don't think that, like, I think the artists would also appreciate if the industry was able to move at a pace, not only to meet the demands of the fans, but also, like, the interests of the artists. And I think it's bigger than an artist-based thing, and I think it's actually stunting the growth of the music.
And, yeah, the evolution.
You see it happen with Young Thug, where it's like, people should have been hearing these, people should have been hearing Pull Up on a Kid and you know, these songs in 2014, 2015, like, it shouldn't have been this, like, slow trickle and, like, low ceiling of, like, weird underground classics.
Right. And for those of us who are concerned about archiving, just the notion that there's not this kind of that there's not, like, a catalog raisonné of Thug songs.
Right.
I mean, maybe someone out there, maybe there's some, you know, that website, I think it's called DatPiz. Have you seen them?
No.
So they do basically, like, mega upload files of people's entire discographies. I think they have, like, every screw tape in, like, one big zip file or something. You know, it's like, I don't know.
I've been there.
Yeah. So I've used them on occasion for a couple of artists, but, like, maybe they have the catalog raisonné of every Thug song, or, like, someone like that. But frankly,
I mean, or it's,
I would like that if it exists.
Google Doc on Reddit, which is there's a Playboi Carti one like that, where it's just, it becomes crowdsourced. And I think that's what we have to rely on, which is good in some ways and bad in others. But I think that period of Thug's career, I think that it got to his head too, maybe. And I think that the idea, because you do see, like, after, I mean, that must be devastating to have 100 of your songs leak. And we think of Thug as, like, this freewheeling doesn't care. But in any case, it's like, that's those, he made those things and he has lost control of them, you know?
Yeah. But again, here we I think you're right to, in essence, blame those responsible for the systems for not figuring out how to basically monetize those or professionalize that setup in a way that would not hinder him. It would help him.
I would have happily paid $40 a month in 2015 for first right of listening to anything Young Thug. Like, he finishes a track in the studio and I get it immediately.
Yeah.
Like, I totally, I would have, you know, I would have paid my rent for that.
If there's any future tech entrepreneurs listening, here's your business model. You're welcome.
Yeah. Well,
should we talk briefly?
Just give me a job, but when...
Yeah, also hire Andrew, please. Or at least if you work in this ecosystem and you want the catalog resume of Young Thug songs, hire Andrew, please. Yeah. Should we close, before we go out, should we do like a quick run on like All Thug's Children? Which is, I have to be honest, this is a piece I wanted to write last year and never got around to it. And it's probably too late to do now, but now that we're talking about it, somebody will probably write it. So like... I guess I'll look forward to reading that. So let's talk about Thug's Children. So we'll talk about like Gunna, Keed, Got It, like low key in a slightly parallel space, Sa Baby, who I remember when Sa Baby first came out, I was like, oh, it's Pop Thug. That's what it's going to be.
Right. I mean, Pull Up With The Stick is Pull Up On A Kid.
Yeah, basically.
It's one, like it's almost rather shameless. Yeah, it's almost, and then they put Thug on the remix.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, it's almost a one-to-one. Which of Thug's Children do you enjoy the most?
I like the Keed tape a lot, and that really kind of surprised me because prior to that, I wasn't blown away from him. But I feel like it almost has that, like, I came from nothing energy. And I think that's something that's lacking with me with a lot of these guys is, like, they have the flows, but it doesn't have that, like, urgency.
The mania. It doesn't have the mania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just, which again, like, to our original point is, like, why a lot of it's more popular than Thug was in his prime. Gunna and Baby can connect with people who are like a little less willing to be challenged by art. You
know? Yeah. I mean, also, I mean, this is what happened. I mean, look, this is like a familiar pattern of outside and avant-garde art and that it becomes influential and then other people soften their edges and, you know, blur the boundaries a little bit. And it's sort of just people have just enough awareness of it as an idea that they're primed to kind of receive a more polished version of it. And then the more polished version arrives. The Key tape is called Long Live Mexico. What's a song you want to hear off that?
Let's hear Real Hood Baby with Stick Baby.
Cool.
Them boy Brown on my kid.
Yeah, real hood baby, yeah. Deep hugging hoes so shady, yeah. Give him to a real good cadence, yeah. I'm running this shit like Paige, yeah. Running this shit like I'm Lil Brown. Not scary, I'm taking precaution. We chopping this shot like a dead man. It's a whole bunch of shots that we dead on. Yeah, yeah. Whole bunch of hunters on me. Diamonds on me, so frozen. No love for these hoes. I hit her one time, then I'm done. Yeah, we'll get back of that hoe once see me. Yes, I'm the one. No, I ain't wear my smoke. I'm with Stick, baby, the done. Yeah, yeah, I'm a hood baby, hood baby. Nah, I don't care about your old lady. Yeah, you get smoked cause your old lady. I cut that whole wife, I got more ladies. Pouring it red by the four, baby. Yeah, Chanel coupe, Chanel kicks. No, I'ma drip on these four, baby. Yeah, I'm with Lil Minnie. And my racks attended. Racks on my shoe, dog. I got that attention. Snake head on my pendant. They hold it together. I told her, got it. Hold it together. This nigga try it. Shoot it together. Woo! For a reason, we shoot it up. They know we did it. Woo! I just told my little bitch, put that piece on me. And my main bitch mad. She can't tell me what to do. All the evidence and trust to shoot it like a who.
As far as, you know, polished Thug Children, I like Gunna. We were talking before we started recording. You told me you're not as into Gunna as I am.
I mean, I like all these guys. Like, they're not, I don't want it to be like, oh, they're trash and they're buddies.
No, no, no.
I think the interesting thing to me, or not the interesting thing, is just, again, and this is me being an old head, where it's fascinating to me that the new standard is your whole crew is guys who sound like lesser versions of you.
Yep.
As opposed to having, like, if everybody in Wu-Tang was RZA, like, the whole interesting thing about having five rappers on a track is that they're going to all do different things.
Right. But, and yet, but then this is, but this kind of goes hand in hand with the kind of playlist era where, number one, songs are made that kind of blur together. So it's like unsurprising, yes, that one rap, that rapper A sounds like rapper B. That's number one. And also the strategy of a lot of what's been coming out of Atlanta is basically to cram these playlists. So it's actually it's a disincentivized. They're disincentivized to be different. It's more like, how can we string 10 songs together that plausibly could go back to back on Rap Caviar?
Yeah. Which is the, I was working in streaming. And I when I stopped, because I the very early days of streaming, where when it started, it was like, we're going to build playlists from like a journalistic perspective, where it's like the history of Atlanta, you know, and things like that. Sure. But then they started moving to what they call like experiential playlists.
Yep.
And that's more like music to like walk on a hot day to. And it's like, well, that's not like... That's not Young Thug. You know, like, I mean, the experience of listening to Young Thug is listening to Young Thug. It's not background music. It's not like a soundtrack to your day. Like, it's full, like, it bowls you over and demands your attention. And I think that, like, you're right. Like, what the second generation has done, sadly, like, in my heart and in my dreams, what I would love a second generation of Young Thug inspired rappers to be like would be, like, even weirder.
Yes, of course.
And that's the way. And, but... you know, the way the market operates now, like, that artist would not have a career.
Yes, I agree. Although it's tough to say, because there might be someone who's influenced by Thug who's working, you know, in a fringe marketplace or ecosystem right now.
That's fair.
But who maybe will trickle up through the YouTubes and eventually kind of like, he or she might be on their 1017 Thug right now, or their I Came From Nothing too right now.
Yeah, that's fair. And that's kind of an exciting like
thought experiment.
Another thing we've lost in the streaming era is that we don't have like blogs, and we don't have people kind of digging that stuff up, unless like you just kind of wait for it to bubble up, and then that's what you're left
with.
Yeah,
I mean, you're right. Like the sheer volume. I mean, it's just literally like just the it's just impossible to process. And unfortunately, rather than kind of like a kind of critically minded or tastemaker blog or whatever, or some kind of like editorially driven sifting, you really just have like crowdsourced wisdom. And that is
the crowd
nice,
sucks,
but imperfect.
I mean, that's the flaw. No, it's not. I mean, you're dealing with low engagement listeners. This is the fundamental flaw of the streaming era, is that like you're dealing with listeners who don't, you know, like Young Thug is doing numbers now, not because he's a genius, but because like some dude who's at his job and like clicking around on Spotify heard that he was a genius.
That's our jobs. That's what we've been working for all these years, Andrew.
Well, but then the problem is like, let him be a genius then. You know, like the system doesn't allow him to fully indulge.
Okay, but can I have a sort of like a hot counter take to that, which is, I believe that the narrative that you are talking about, in which Thug is like sort of falling into, is a very like 90s narrative, 2000s narrative. I'm of the mindset that Thug, if he put out a super, forget So Much Fun, if he put out a super weird album right now at the peak of awareness of Young Thug, I think he'd still do really well. I guess
we'll find out, because they're saying that. And I mean, to be clear, like we keep saying weird, but I don't think weird is always the appeal of Young Thug. And I think it's reductive to say that. Like, I think the best parts of Barter 6 are difficult.
Yeah.
More so than weird, and are challenging. And I think that like, was it in the Fader article where he talked about he wants to put out like a Tupac album?
Yeah,
this
year? I think that was in the Fader piece.
And I mean, maybe that will be it. Like, maybe that will be the next evolution of him. And maybe you're right. Like, maybe now that like So Much Fun has paved the way for casual listeners to like wrap their head around his style, like maybe he'll have that freedom. I think that's best case scenario. And I absolutely hope you're right.
Yeah. I think there is no better time and opportunity for Thug to be nonlinear than this moment, even though he, in this album, there is a linearity to it. But I do think the opportunity is there for non-linearity.
Well, I think also a big question is his label going to do that? Or are they going to be like, we need the London part two?
Well, if they're listening, you know what we think. So pick a Thug record for us to go out on that you think is an emblematic, great. We were talking about Pacifier earlier.
Yeah, let's go out on Pacifier.
All right, let's go out on Pacifier.
I mean, it's a crazy song. I really thought Pacifier was like, I was like, this is a Bruno Mars record and they're going to, if they push this, it'll become a hit. And now I listen to it now and I'm like,
is it on an album?
No, it's,
it's a total, it's a Lucy, right?
I think it's like, was supposed to be the lead single for Hi-Tunes, which right, is like the missing Lucy. Link.
Right, right, right. Okay. All yeah. right. So we'll just, okay. So then let's go out on Pacifier, which is 2015 Young Thug.
Cut this place. And I know she like me. Hey, that is in her face. Now make me a cute little Christian, I don't feel like Mace. Right foot, step inside the house, by my mess erased. Sure, no. I ain't tryna roll no dice, I just wanna make it right. When I'ma turn the turner over, turn the turner like ice. I'm on the burner, on the burner.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm always excited to talk about this topic and nothing else ever.
Ever. Well, this is why there was no one else to call but you.
Wait, man, it's been fun.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you to Andrew Nosnitsky again. Please patronize Park Boulevard Records on Discogs and on the World Wide Webs. A lot of fire on there. You can listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com. Email me your sort of like lost Thug classics, because I feel like in talking about Thug with people, everybody kind of has a song that's their song and that like low-key I don't know because it's just buried on YouTube somewhere. So email your lost Thugs classic at podcast@nytimes.com and subscribe to podcasts anywhere you get your audio content, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, etc., etc. Our producer, back from the beach, Pedro Rosado from Matt Stepper Media. We'll back next week. I'ma catch your mama, then I'm out to your mama, all because I made jam of the week. Don't see your living stuff that I can stop my kidney for some hard reason I never in a week. I said Miley Cyrus, ain't no meeting my resires, he and Miley Cyrus dating them for weeks. So, hey, me and my new pacifier. Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.